I'm preaching from the first chapter of Genesis. My text this morning is going to be verses 24 through 28. I'm continuing to preach from this chapter with emphasis upon drawing out from this text some basic Christian doctrines that you and I should be grounded in already, and I trust that you are. But we need to be reminded of them because these basic Christian doctrines are under attack. They always have been, but it seems like recently the devil has just made up his mind, I'm going to try to destroy the family. I'm going to try to destroy the teachings of the church regarding the family, along with a whole host of other things. And so I just want to make sure that first of all, we're grounded in the basics, the basic teachings of the Christian church. And then secondly, that we are armed with the truth to defend them. Because you don't have to go looking for a fight nowadays when it comes to contending for the Christian faith. They're bringing it to us and sort of in your face kind of a thing, challenging you to tell them, what do you mean by family? What does a family consist of? And how many genders are there? And what's the role of the male? And what's the role of the female? It's all there. So you and I need to be reminded of that. Well, in verses 24 through 28, I want to preach about the creation of the land animals and then the creation of humanity itself. Let's begin here in verse 24 of Genesis chapter 1. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle, and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind, and it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So, God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, now be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Well, here's how we'll break this text down. In verses 24 through 25, we'll talk about the creation of land animals, and then we'll make some application of that. Then we'll look at verses 26 and 27 and look at the creation of humanity in God's image, which is a clear teaching, as you'll find in the Bible, about what did God make regarding humans. And then in verse 28, we see the commission that God gives us humans in order to live in this earth. So what about the creation of land animals in verses 24 through 25? Now this is on the sixth day of creation. This act of creation, as far as we can tell from this text, it's just like the other 5 days, God spoke these things into existence. Now it says in verse 26, and God made the beast of the earth and the cattle and everything that creepeth. The word make sort of has a connotation with it that there's actually some physical work taking place, that God gets his hands involved in making. But that's not the case, because I think for a good reason, as we see when God makes humanity, especially from chapter 2, verse 7, there was a deliberate teaching that God did get his hands involved in making humanity. But for the animals and for the land animals here in verse 26 and 27 on day 6, we're still believing that God spoke these things into existence. Now, when we say that God spoke a cattle into existence, That doesn't deny the fact that there was intricate planning in the creation of a cow. Now, you and I might look at a cow and say, what's the big deal about a cow? And how can God making a cow bring glory to His name and honor to His name? Well, simply this, no one can match creation of a cow. You ever tried to make a cow? Yeah? I remember the story, this is not a true story, this is a sort of a preacher's joke that Adrian Rogers told one time about the devil and the Lord regarding creation. So the devil wanted to challenge the Lord regarding creation. And he freely admitted to the Lord on this challenge day, he says, look, I look at all this stuff that you have made, and I think it's a pretty good creation, but I think I can do better. And the Lord says, well, let's have it out then. And so the devil and the Lord met for that day of creation. And as they were getting ready to create, the devil grabbed a handful of dirt in order to make some stuff that God had made. And God says, oh, wait just a minute. You got to use your own dirt. Which brings it to realization of this, that when God made the cow and spoke it into existence, He created it simply out of nothing. But when God made man, as we'll see in just a moment, He took the dirt He had made and then created man. So it's a marvel again when we think about the land animals. It's a marvel of several things. It's a marvel of God's sovereignty. I mean, who is this God that can just speak things into existence? How much power must you possess in order to be able to pull that off? It speaks of His omnipotence. It speaks of His goodness and for His glory. But the cow and the creeping thing and the other land animals were also considered to be good. Not only good in that they remind us of God being the Creator, but they are good for humankind as well. As God later instructs us, use these animals for your food after the fall. And so you and I shouldn't feel bad about eating a good steak from a good cow. There are those who try to tell us you shouldn't eat meat from animals, shouldn't eat fish from the river and from the sea and what have you. Well, they're just being ignorant. They're being biblically ignorant when they do that, because God has indeed made these animals for our good. Not only are they good, but they are for our good as well. But this also speaks about this matter of the falsehood of dualism when God speaks about His creation being good. What I mean by dualism is this. It's the age-old teaching that spiritual things are good and physical things are bad. And that has crept into the church from generation to generation, thinking that if you want to please God, you got to focus on these spiritual things only, because this body is bad, this world is bad, and it is of no use to God. But according to creation, this body and this world are good in the sight of God. They are the right, there's something right about them, not something bad about them. And so when we think about God creating the animals, you and I should not be ashamed then of proclaiming that this world that God has made is a very good act of a very generous God, meant to convey to humanity the God who made this cow, the God who made this fish, you must bow to Him. You must acknowledge that He is the great and only Creator of God. So, guys, the next time you want to go fishing or go hunting and your wife kicks against that a little bit, you just say to them, I'm just out doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm taking advantage of this good creation that God has made for us. And if you really want to get away with going fishing and don't have to make an excuse, then name your boat Visitation. And if anybody asks what you're doing, well, I'm out on Visitation is what I'm doing. I'm out doing a good work. That was a terrible joke that a pastor friend told me several years ago, but it was so bad I've never forgotten it. But I would never buy a boat. If I had all the money in the world, I would never buy a boat, as Sandy said the other day. But if I did buy one, I would name it Visitation. No doubt about that whatsoever. But then look in verse 28 and 27. Here comes the crescendo. Here is the epitome of God's creation. It's the creation of humanity. In verses 26 and 27, we're reminded of several things. Number one, we're reminded the Bible speaks early about the Trinity. We've said it again. I'll keep saying it. I'll never tire of it. That this chapter speaks, hints at the triune head of God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Let us make man in our image. Us and our indicate the plurality that exists in the Godhead. We're told later on, as Scripture progressively reveals God to us, that that us and that our is none other than the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Amen. So this act of creating humanity reminds us of the Trinity. It also reminds us of the phrase, the Latin phrase, Imago Dei, in the image of God. God just didn't make man like He made the cows. But He made man in the image of God. Now we know that doesn't mean a physical resemblance, that kind of an image, because God is spirit and does not have a physical body. But it means that God made man like God with some of His attributes. Now not all of His attributes. He is still the only creator, and we are creatures made by this creator. But we share some things that God is able to do. We're able to think. We're able to reason. We're able to act. We're able to make decisions based on reason and based on knowledge. No other creature that God has made up to this point has been said that, let's make that cow in our image. That wasn't said about the cow, or the fish, or the creeping thing, or the mountains, or the water. But this particular act of creation is where God is really putting everything He has into it so that this act of creation, humanity, will be the brightest star to reflect the image of God. I mean, you can look at the Grand Canyon or the trees or the birds and they'll remind you of God. But nothing compares to reminding us of God when we look at humanity. Because we have been made on purpose, by design, in God's image. Now, we are not the exact replica of God, like Jesus Christ is the exact replica of the Godhead, like Hebrews chapter 1 and Colossians chapters 1 tell us. But we are a likeness of God enough so that when you look at humanity, not just how we're made, but how we live, how we think and how we decide and how we go about life, that reminds us that God is a God of reason, a God of thought, a God of action, and all those other attributes that we share. So you are made in the image of God. The body that God gave you, the gender that He gave you, that's from Him. He designed it to be the very best thing for you, and you cannot improve upon what God has made. So stop trying to change it. A boy is a boy, always will be. A girl is a girl, always will be. By God's design. Don't change it one bit. And if your daughter comes to you one day and says, Daddy, I think I'm a boy trapped in a girl's body. And you simply say to her, no, you're not, honey. You're a girl made in God's image. Stop thinking such silly stuff like that. Just talk to her plain. Talk to her straight. Or if your son comes to you and says, I think I'm a girl trapped inside a boy's body, you should say hogwash. That's nonsense. Who filled your head with such ridiculous thoughts like that? Let me take you to the Bible and show you that God made you a male. And a male you will forever be, because God has purpose to work in you and through you as a male to bring glory and honor to Himself and good for you. This creation of humanity also brings about the distinction you and I must bear, that there is one Creator and there are many creatures. You and I are not God. Now I know the psalm teaches us that we are sons of God. And we are sons and daughters of God because of regeneration. But friend, don't ever think you are anywhere close to God. And you may be thinking, well, who would be so ridiculous to think that a human being is God? Well, just look around. Look how many humans are worshipped as if they were God and that they are God. Talking about people in entertainment. I mean, people would cut off their arm to be able to sit down and talk to a movie star. And the movie star is nothing more than a man or a woman just like you and I. It's you and I who've heaped praise upon them and accolades upon them that has lifted them to this status where they think they're worth worshiping. They are something. God didn't do that. We've done that. We've made gods out of them. We've made them people that we respect and bow down to and we stand in awe of because of a movie they've made, because of a book they've written, or athletes. The same thing goes to them. I mean, who wouldn't just die to be able to spend a few minutes with Brett Favre, the best quarterback in NFL forever? That's my opinion because I'm a diehard Packer fan. But I mean, what did he do to get elevated to that place in the minds of those of us who like athletes? Well, it's us. I mean, he did some things. He made a few passes and made a few runs and stuff like that. But it's us who then said, man, he's great. He's fantastic. He's the best ever. So we've elevated him as well. And the same thing in the business world. I mean, who wouldn't like to sit down and talk to one of the best business minds this world's ever known, Donald Trump, and just pick his brain about how do you save money and how do you make money and how do you build a business? I mean, wouldn't you be in awe of that man if you were able to do that? And why is he like that? Well, he's made some accomplishments, but you and I have praised him for making the millions and the billions because we think the millions and the billions are worthy, when in reality they're not. Did you know that God is going to take all the gold that Donald Trump accumulates in this world? And did you know what he's going to use it for in heaven? To build streets and fill potholes with gold. That's God's estimation of gold. I can use it to make something to people to walk it on. And hear you worship it as a greatest mineral in the world. And so you and I must remember to keep the Creator distinct from all creatures and never elevate a creature to the position of Creator. This is brought out here in verse 26. Let us make man in our own image. Not let's make another God or let's make a fourth person of the Godhead, but let's make man in our own image. And then again, we have this cultural mandate when we think about God making man and woman also. When you and I think about we should have dominion over creation in verse 26. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth and over every creeping thing. God has made us stewards of this great world. We didn't make it, but we've been put here to tend to it, as Adam once did. But now that it's under curse, you and I are to steward this world. That means we are to care for it. That means we are to be good tenders of that which God has made. So when we think about God making the animals, verse 24 and 25, God making humanity in verse 26 and 27, we realize that this is the crescendo of His creation. And He has done something that has never been repeated, never needs to be repeated. He has made man. And in making humanity, He made male and He made female. And in verse 7 of chapter 2, it says that this act alone stands singular from all the other acts of creation in that, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. A cow doesn't have a soul. A dog doesn't have a soul. A fish does not have a soul. The creeping things don't have souls. They were spoken into existence, and they, because of God's creative mandate, they continue to duplicate and replicate, but they don't have a soul. But friend, you have a soul. Are you hearing me? This is important. This is one of these key doctrines you and I need to remember. You and I have a soul. Some people call it a spirit. There are those dichotomies and trichotomies. There's a body, soul, and spirit, and then there's a body and the soul. But even those who believe in body and soul believe there's two parts of the soul, and that the spirit, so I think we're talking about the same thing on the same page. But here's the key point of it. This body that you have, it's just a shell encasing your eternal being. And when this old body dies, when the heart stops beating, your soul is going to live forever, either in heaven with God in all of His glory, or it will be in hell with the devil and all the other lost ones as well. This, I believe, is probably the most important aspect of teaching creation. Man is a living soul. And everything you and I do, as a parent and as a grandparent, we need to nurture that soul. We need to cultivate that soul. We need to try to form that soul, shape it, bend it toward God as much as you can. You do that by praying for your children. You do that by teaching them the Bible. You do that by making sure they're in church under the preaching of the Word. You do that by letting them see you live for God, bringing Him glory and bringing Him honor. Everything that you're doing, you're praying that God will use that to form that soul in the lives of your children, so that they might come to know Christ. Amen? Don't ever forget that. And so God takes dirt, uses His hands then to make this intricate body that you've got, and then breathes into you, a reference to the Holy Spirit, life, and you become a living soul. How precious life is to God. Whether it's in the womb or on the deathbed, life is precious, and we thank God for it. So here's the application for all this. God has made you. Now, what is your response to that? Will you just go on and live your life and not think much, not take much thought of it? Or will you say to the Lord, Lord, in your infinite wisdom and by your power, you have fashioned me. You have made me. And what you have made, whether I'm a male or a female, whether I'm white or whether I'm black, whether I'm in the 35th century or the 1st century, doesn't matter. The key thing is this: you've made me for your glory and for my good. So help me, Lord, to realize this every single day. And help me to talk like someone that will bring glory to you. Help me to act like someone that will bring glory and honor to you as well. Do this in all things and pray that God will give you grace and strength to live out your Christian life for those two reasons: His glory and for your good. Amen. Let's pray then. Now, Father, we thank you that you've made it so clear in the Bible about the creation of animals and the creation of humanity, and how both of them were wonderfully made on that sixth day, that day of your greatest achievement, and how that all these things, the animals and the creeping things, and especially mankind, were designed specifically for showcasing your power and showcasing your brilliance and showcasing the fact that you made this world for your glory and for your honor. Now help us as your creatures. Help us as the folks you have made in your image to do our very best to steward this body that we have. The way that we live and the things that we do, we pray that they will reflect your glory and your honor, because you're certainly worth it. And we ask all these things in the mighty name of Jesus, whom you saved us by. Amen and amen.